You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
We asked a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet to get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. Joined alongside Jacob. Did you just zip that up, Jacob?
No, I zipped it down a little bit. Looked a little too conservative.
We got Jacob on the border of Minnesota and Wisconsin, and we got Tim live in Green Bay. Tim said he just ate a whole chicken. Is there some truth to that, Tim?
At least half a chicken. We roasted a chicken tonight, man. I was just chowed down before I jumped on the pod. So if I start nodding off, don't take it personal. It's definitely the, you know, 2.5 pounds of chicken that I just ate.
It is what it is, man. So obviously Jacob over on Rumble, we're live on Rumble, said Emilio isn't here again, slacker. And then of course United Bait chimes in and says must be an electric race car. So there you go. And if you guys were on the midday PTA stream where we did a little mock draft earlier, number one Packer fan said, let's go Charlotte 49ers, LOL. So I learned today there is a college team called the Charlotte 49ers. Pretty impressive, right? I'm not sure which high school it is, but kind of exciting. So, Jacob, Tim, do you guys got anything you want to hit on before we kind of get into the stuff that I've got lined up here, one of which is an article that Jacob actually sent over? You guys got anything? Sometimes we get to talking, and I know on the front side you're thinking, man, I wish I'd have talked about this. Anything at all?
So, are you guys talking about the Grant Dubois Charlotte 49ers? Is that a thing?
I'm assuming so. There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. Grant Dubois. Why? Did you say Dubois?
DuBose?
DuBose, right? Yeah, he misspelled that, right?
He wrote Dubois.
Yeah, right. But he misspelled it, didn't he? Am I thinking right?
All right.
Yeah. I think so. Tim, we need a spell check on Grant's last name, please, sir.
Okay. Let's see.
I'm just joking, Tim. Don't do that, man. We're good. We're totally good. So we we had a Quay Walker.
DUBOSE, Grant DuBose. Yeah,
so there you go. Grant DuBose. I can't spell LOL. Well, you're in good company here tonight, sir. I promise you that. So.
You can't spell and we can't read.
First things first, we got a Quay Walker sighting today, guys, or at least in the last couple of days, evidently. Look who's checking out. This came from @Rhodes_JJ. Look who is checking out the Braves for the first time, MLB game, for their first MLB game. That's a #damngooddog and @Packers, @QuayWalker_, go Braves, go Pack, go Braves, love it. So what I love about this picture, Tim, Quay's just a man of the people. Looks like he's got some wings there. It kind of looks like maybe an Asian glaze top.
Clayton's eyes go right to the food.
It's a Peking zing. You're correct, Clayton.
Oh my gosh, man. That right there, man, with an ice cold daddy soda, we're ready to roll. You know what I mean? Sitting there watching a baseball game, nodding off till about the seventh inning, you wake up and go, who's winning? what happened out there, guys? That's usually how I watch baseball nowadays. So, but pretty cool to see Quay out there, right? I'm just hanging out at a Braves game, Jake.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you can tell the kid next to him, it must be either somebody he knows because it looks like he's rocking a Packers jersey at the Braves game. They're both rocking the same Braves bracelet there. So, yeah, I'm assuming he just kind of showed up, got some gear on. Yeah, he looks like he's happy, man. I mean, I'm excited. He's a big dude,
man. I was going to say, is it just me or does he look a little thick there too, man?
He's looking like he's getting them wings down 12 at a time.
Oh, man, let's go.
Wings and weight rooms.
There you go. Wings, weight rooms, and, well.
That's all we got. That's it. Right.
Yeah. Women?
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school really paid off. Doug Corner said, is that your son, Jacob? No, you kidding me, man. If it was Jacob's son, he'd have a full beard, I promise you.
That's true.
You already have that thing grown out. So we do have somewhat some bad news. I usually don't like talking about stuff like this, but, guys, it's full draft season. We got to talk about it.
We got to talk about how far Tavondre Sweat's going to fall to us in the draft now?
I think that's what we're getting to here, Tim. It's that dude is about to sink, man. It sucks, too. And, you know, anytime driving under the influence is involved, man, you know, I remember – I think his name was – Leonard Little, I believe, that played for the University of Tennessee. He had a situation that was like, this is as bad as it gets, you know, when you're driving behind the wheel intoxicated and you actually take someone's life, obviously. Just devastating. Luckily for Tavondre Sweat, that didn't happen. But anytime you talk about a DWI, it's a tough thing, man. So ML Football tweeted this out. Breaking news, Texas star defensive tackle and projected first-round pick Tavondre Sweat was arrested for driving while intoxicated. Driving while intoxicated is a Class B misdemeanor per NBC. So we've actually got a news clip here from the local news there. I can't remember where it happened. Did it happen down in Texas? Am I thinking right? I want to say Houston or something. I could be wrong. I shouldn't even. Let's see if we can pick up where it actually happened at. Here is just a quick news clip where they covered the story there locally.
To a developing story involving former Texas football player Tavondre Sweat. Within the past few hours, we learned that he was arrested and charged with driving while intoxicated. His bond was set at $3,000. The arrest happened on I-35 in North Austin. So joining me now is sports anchor Corey Mose. And Corey, you were there when he was leaving the Travis County jail today.
Yeah, that's correct. It unfortunate situation and something that Texas fans didn't expect to hear on this Sunday afternoon. As you can see in the video here, Tavondre Sweat is leaving the jailhouse with a towel over his head. Now, we asked his attorney for a comment on the situation. His attorney did not say anything. And of course, when we asked Tavondre Sweat for a comment as well, he stayed quiet before getting into his vehicle there and then driving off. And so just an unfortunate situation right now for a player that's about to have a big week. Mm-hmm. This is the NFL draft week later in April, and he was projected a second round pick, and he's already had a formal interview with the Cowboys at the NFL draft combine. He actually talked to the Texans defensive line coach at Texas's pro day, and so a lot of eyes were on Tavondre Sweat leading into this NFL draft. So now we'll see if this situation will tank his draft stock.
Yeah, I know you guys will be keeping us updated on how this will impact his future NFL career. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Corey.
All right, so that was the local news just kind of hitting on it.
So Austin, Texas.
Yeah, Austin, which is where that's where UT's at, right, where Texas is at, where he played. So, yeah, I mean, that's let's cool. go around the horn with it, Tim. Like, you hear something like that, it's tough, you know, because there's some people that would go, come on, guys, it's not that big of a deal. But most of the time, those same people are the ones that are looking at Aaron Hernandez and how that whole thing turned out. There was warning signs everywhere with Aaron Hernandez. And, you know, a team like the Patriots gets absolutely crucified for the fact that you gave him an opportunity and kind of aided in that whole debacle that happened there with him. I'm not trying to suggest that Tavondre Sweat is a bad character person. I'm just saying I understand why teams don't want to touch that stuff, especially after some of the stuff that's happened in the past when some of the warning signs were there. But, yeah, what do you think, Tim? Is this how far do you think he'll drop? How would this affect you if you were the GM? You may say, hey, it ain't going to affect at all, and there ain't nothing wrong. There's no wrong answer here. But
I think it depends on the teams that are looking at him. You know, not every everyone has the same standards. Some teams may have higher standards than others when it comes to because let's be honest, this is a player character kind of issue, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not criminal, so this is not a criminal charge. Class B misdemeanor, not a felony charge. So as far as the legal ramifications, I'm sure this will just be, handled pretty quickly, and he'll do some community service, pay a fine, that kind of thing. But as far as like violating character policy or, things that these teams hold their players to, as far as accountability, that's going to hurt his draft stock. I don't know if he'll plummet. You know what I mean? I don't think he'll be fall all the way to the sixth round or something, but you never know. We've seen crazier things happen. The unfortunate thing about this is it's just so, in this day and age, it's 2024, man. I mean, I don't care how hammered you are, like get on your phone, swipe at your Uber, and you're magically where you need to be. You don't have to get into a car and drive. It's completely avoidable. So it does kind of put into question his decision making.
That's the big
thing. I'm not gonna judge any college kid for being a college kid and going out and partying, but I do got to think about your judgment skills when you're doing that, because there's a lot of guys that will go out, party, have a good time, maybe had too much to drink, call a cab, get in an Uber, whatever. There's a million different ways to get yourself from point A to point B without driving nowadays. So it's just unfortunate, but luckily, like you said, nobody, this didn't affect anyone else. He didn't hurt anyone else. He basically just hurt his draft stock right here, and probably some points on his driving record, among other things, So that's just kind of how I see it. I don't want to drag him because, we don't know, and people can make mistakes in their life and become better people for it at the end. And, people can change, things like that. So, you don't want to drag this young man too hard before his career really gets off the ground, but 100% he's going to drop in the draft. I believe it.
Yeah, I agree, man. And like Dave says here in the chat, he said, this is Sweat's gas mask moment. We're talking about less than 3 weeks from the draft, Jacob. And I mean, again, Tim, you hit the nail on the head, man. If anything, as an organization, it's you're looking up going, all right, man, can we trust this guy? I mean, if he can't make better decisions than that, what kind of decisions is he going to make when he's representing our organization, right? But what do you think, Jacob?
Yeah, I'm going to mimic what Tim said. I mean, people go through different stages in their lives. Lord knows that I was an absolute horrible human being when I was his age. You add in $100,000 of money and a lot of fame and status, and who knows what I would have done. That being said, like you just said, this is an investment. These guys aren't just rookies or whatever. These teams are going to make a 2 to 3 plus possibly a whole career investment into these people. And like you just said, and like Doug talked about it, it sounds like that, somebody pointed out that he was questioning Ron maybe about his partying habits. And he admitted straight up, he's like, yep, I'm a big partier, but that's in the past. And then you go ahead and do this 3 weeks before your draft. And I think it just kind of throws a massive, giant, flaming red flag into the sand that says, hey guys, I'm so unskilled or uncontrolled in my emotions that I can't even bottle it up for 2.5 weeks when I know it's going to cost me millions of dollars if I don't do so. That to me is so shocking that I would definitely take a step back. Now, he's a freak of nature. He's a talented guy. Well, this, like Tim said, knock him back to the sixth. No, but it'll take him out of maybe the back of the first round, almost maybe to the third, I'd bet. And like I said, that just probably cost him millions of dollars and who knows what else in his career. So, and no matter what he does now, he's always going to be that guy that got the DUI before the draft. You can't undo that. You can only have one chance at a first impression. So,
yeah, definitely. Coach Lynn in the chat said, when you're looking for players, you want smart, tough, dependable players. This shows none of those qualities. Yep. Yeah, no two ways about it. And the tweet that you were referring to there too, Jacob, actually came in from Pac Daddy. He did the big oof gif, right? Because Dane Brugler said, according to a team source, Sweat has been upfront with NFL teams about his, quote, partying as an underclassman and made it a point of emphasis in interviews that was all in the past. Obviously, today's incident 3 weeks from the draft won't help. So it was already on the radar. As a former president once said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, you fool me, You fool me more than once, you can't fool me again.
You leave W alone there, Clay. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. I'll tell you what. I'm still – can we
– Speaking of Texas, I'm going to say it.
I'm going to say it. How in the hell are the last four or five presidents we had the best option that we have in this country? I'll just leave it at that. And I know that's going to tick off both parties. Good.
That's good.
Just unbelievable. Anyway, but I did hear someone say one time, this did crack me up, and we'll get off politics. Someone said, my God, he's an idiot. Talking about W, said he can't even put a sentence together. And they said, well, Obama reads off a teleprompter. And I'll never forget, it's on a construction site. That person said, hell, at least he can read the teleprompter. Cracked me up. I was just like, it's hard to argue with this.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I'm just mind boggled that that's the best we've got. Anyway, so yeah, interesting to see where Tavondre Sweat's going to fall to. If we were to go to the consensus big board and already had a mock draft pulled up already, go ahead.
Anybody can confirm that it was alcohol? Because them Smitty here makes a decent point that if it's DUI, because honestly, I swear, as odd as it may sound or whatever the taboos in society are. If he, quote-unquote, had a DWI because he was under the influence of, let's say, weed, teams are not going to care half as much. They're just not.
Right. It's a good point, but still, you know, it's illegal to drive while you're under the influence, period. You know, so for me, it's – I don't know, man. I don't know enough about that world to really comment too much other than – you go in and you tell the team, hey, that stuff's behind me. I'm not doing that anymore. And then you go out and you do it.
Yeah.
It's just a bad look. But Tavondre Sweat, according to the consensus big board and their mock draft database website, he is currently sitting at the 56th spot and he peaked at 32. So I'm interested to see if that changes here in the next few days. But currently you're saying that basically he's a late first round, you know, first to second rounder, I guess, is the tab you would put on him. So you'll probably see him drop down to the third or the fourth round, I would imagine, because the talent's there, guys. And let's be honest, like, again, I'm not trying to compare Tavondre Sweat to someone who obviously took another human being's life, but all the signs were there for Aaron Hernandez, and he didn't drop further than the third round. So I can't imagine it's going to affect him more than that, seeing that. This isn't – you're not talking about someone trying to physically hurt someone, you know what I mean? So, and some of you probably think, well, you know, he didn't become that until he got to New England. Now he actually broke a restaurant owner's face by punching him. So, yeah, they said Tebow had to drag him out of that place, he being obviously Aaron Hernandez. So that's just the worst-case scenario, how things can really turn out when you're talking about – Hernandez, but again, it's why teams have to be cautious, man. It really is. So
We're not seeing that level with Sweat here. We're not seeing like violent outburst kind of stuff, but certainly a character issue, because you know, it's like Jacob said, you know, you look at all the — you're about to enter the draft, you're, you know, the notoriety you have coming from a big school, you're high recruit, all of these things. Well, it's only going to get crazier when you sign your contract in the NFL. Now you're going to throw millions of dollars on top of this, more fame, more notoriety, more exposure. You know, you got to look at it. Is this young man going to be able to handle that well? If going into the draft, we're seeing this. Those are the type of things I think GMs are thinking about when they take a shot at drafting somebody.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so that's the Tavondre Sweat news. And, again, you're going to have stuff like this is going to continue to kind of shape up the draft. Hopefully that's the last negative thing we see in that regard. But you never know, man, as it gets closer to the draft. It kind of reminds me of what Belichick used to say to players. And a buddy of mine that played for Coach Belichick actually experienced this himself. When they would break for the time right before camp or whatever, he would tell him, like, hey, guys, listen, this is when people do stupid stuff. Like, please be aware. Because these guys they know that when they get back to training camp, they're going to be locked down, right? They're not going to be – I mean, they're going to have their days planned to the minute by someone else. So it's like they try to get all that fun in right before they go to camp. unless you're Paul Hornung and Max McGee, and they would just, you know, do it during the season. But that's a story for another day. So he would always talk about that. Now, I think about that, too. It's like you just want to talk to every prospect and go, you're this close, man. You've worked your ass off your entire life to get right here. Come on, man. 3 more weeks. You can do this. Let's go. You can do this. You know what I'm saying? It's just frustrating to see people hurt themselves like that. So, anyway, there you go. There is the Tavondre Sweat news. Now, we had some other info come across the wire from our buddy Easton Butler, who's been kind of keeping up with all these top 30 visits. And it says the Packers are hosting Northwestern linebacker Brian Gallagher on a top 30 visit. He did go on to say a likely undrafted free agent target. So it's important to kind of understand where he's going to be at. So when it comes to Bryce Gallagher, let's see exactly where he falls on the consensus big board, just to kind of get an idea. Is there a chance he gets drafted or no? They got him in the 408 spot, and he actually peaked at 374. So obviously he's going to be undrafted. I think we feel pretty confident in saying that. Let's see if he's got any kind of profile here on PFF, and I'll just read the grades to you guys and gals here. We're looking for Bryce Gallagher. He's not on page one. That ain't good. No, he didn't make the cut. It went all the way down to 308 at the linebacker position. So,
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's 40 bucks right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase.
This could be a smokescreen. It could be one of those undrafted free agents. We talked about how Ted Thompson, this is how he used to do business, Jacob. He was always spending a good chunk of those top 30 visits on guys that they don't plan on drafting, but he wants to get as much information as possible because when you sign that UDFA, obviously those can be as valuable as a draft pick. It's an extension of the draft. So you got anything on Bryce Gallagher?
I got nothing on him, man. I did not know who that was, I'll be honest. But can I ask you a kind of a fun question? Cody McDougal, he said, who's the Conor McGregor of the NFL? We were talking in the chat about some random stuff, and that popped up. Mm-hmm. Who would you think would be the Conor McGregor of the NFL? I know who it was when I was growing up. It would be like Bill Romanowski or some just
– Romanowski, man.
That was a freak.
So I guess what I don't fully understand the question. Are you
who's
saying
like the hothead, cocky
– whose personality, like, right?
Yeah. Biggest personality.
Man, that is tough.
I can see Jair on that list.
Jair kind of carries himself that way. Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair comparison. Yeah. You know, here recently, one that come to mind for me is A.J. Hawk's brother-in-law. J.J. Watt's brother-in-law. Used to play in Houston, linebacker, Brian Cushing. That dude is the closest thing I've seen to Conor McGregor because he's as hot-headed as they get.
And, that's a good answer here. too old for this. Cortland Finnegan or that guy.
Oh that yeah.
He's
yeah.
a scrapper.
Yeah. I remember when who was the big wide receiver in Houston, ironically. God, what was his name? I think he actually might have been Andre. You almost had
Johnson?
It.
Andre Johnson.
Andre Johnson. Remember when he smoked Cortland's head?
Oh yeah.
He was like, you gonna learn today, little man. Tore that helmet off, was smacking him around. Golly, boy. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know, man. Tim, what do you think? Do you got one?
I don't know, man. It's hard to say right now. Romanowski be a good one from all time status,
Dominic Sue.
Yeah, Sue would be one, I guess, but
Jalen Ramsey.
There you go. Ramsey's a talker. Yeah, for sure. He's got some swag.
Vontaze Burfict.
Oof.
I mean, what about Pat McAfee? Remember Pat McAfee punted the ball in? I think it got downed at the 1 yard line. He did the whole Conor McGregor.
That's right. He did that.
Yeah. Oh, Cody hit it on the head there in the chat. Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a good one for sure.
The notorious.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to take this moment to apologize to absolutely nobody.
I actually seen that video today, believe it or not. It came across the feed. Every time it comes across the feed, too, I'm hitting it every there time.
That's the OG.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. Ray Nitschke. As far as Packers recently, other than Jair, who would it be? Who would it be?
Oh, I don't know about Packers.
Hold up. I got you. Who was the defensive line? Mike Daniels, maybe? Mike Daniels.
Yeah, he was a pretty intense dude.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know about I don't know if he had quite the arrogance of a Conor McGregor, but
yeah.
I think Mike Daniels was just a tough dude, and that's just who he was. I don't know. I guess, though, I could see it.
Yeah. All right. Jacob, you sent me an article earlier, and rather than pull the article up fully, I got a couple screen grabs of it. We'll check it out real quick. Here's just Jacob's done a good job of pulling this stuff.
Oh, I thought that was the screen grab. My bad. I hit the wrong one.
Hold on. Yeah. That's
that the screen grab you were looking for.
Emilio, this is what happens when you don't come to the show, but
yeah,
he looks so happy to be in his car bed.
He really does. That's the worst Photoshop in history, but I love it. That makes it even better. So. There you go.
Oh, man.
All right.
I screwed everything up now. All right, let's get it.
There you go. You're good.
Here's the background. All right.
So this is the article that Jacob sent over, and it was on MSN. Am I thinking right? Where did it come from?
Yeah.
The story's by Freddie Boston. There's no way that's that guy's real name, by the way. It's got to be a pen name there. So anyway, it says, latest NFL.com mock draft has Packers screwing up a dream scenario. I love how the national media has just the Packers screwing everything up, right? It's kind of funny how that works. So, imagine a world where Troy Fontana and Cooper DeJean are available when the Packers hit the clock in the first round. It's a dream scenario. Green Bay needs offensive line and cornerback help and would have the choice of two future stars. Fontana can become an all-pro at all five offensive line positions, including left tackle. He earned elite RAS scores of 9.62 at tackle, 9.94 at guard, and goes on to say there's a high probability he will be a top 20 pick. DeJean offers similar versatility with the ability to play across the secondary at corner, in the slot, or safety. He would be an impact starter with Pro Bowl potential no matter where he lines up. If Fontana and DeJean are available at number 25, the Packers have to take one of them, right? Maybe not. Chad Reuter, never heard of him, of NFL.com, released his latest mock draft, which sees Green Bay pass on both prospects to select NC State linebacker Peyton Wilson at number 25. While Wilson would be a fantastic day two option and help address the Packers' biggest positional need, it's hard to get behind this choice on the opening night, especially considering the other options. The article goes on to say Packers must avoid linebacker in first round of the 2024 NFL draft. Let me get a little closer here. Linebacker may sit atop the Packers' list of needs, but they shouldn't burn the number 25 at the position. It's rarely the correct choice to draft an off-ball linebacker in the first round, and there are no game-changing prospects in this year's class. History backs it up. Between 2013 and 2020, 21 off-ball linebackers were selected in the first round. Only four landed second contracts with the team they drafted them. We only go to 2020 because linebackers picked in the following drafts are still playing on their rookie deals. It's not a premium position despite the Packers' urgent need. They shouldn't prioritize linebacker on day one. Green Bay will have a chance to land a top offensive lineman or cornerback. In the case of the NFL.com mock, Fontana and DeJean were available. It's not a criticism of Wilson to say drafting him at number 25 would be a bad decision. Hey, we're not talking bad about the guy. We're just talking bad about him. He can become an excellent starter in the NFL. Doesn't that sound nice, guys? And will be on the Packers' radar after earning a RAS of 9.88. However, his injury history is a concern. It may keep him out of the first round. So I like how they bring it back around and basically said it's a bad pick, but it wouldn't be a bad pick, right?
Sure, but he
stays hurt a lot, so it would be a bad pick. That's basically what the article said. But I'm glad you sent that, Jacob, because we need as much information as possible as far as different websites and who they're taking where. So obviously there's one scenario where they got Peyton Wilson getting selected at 25. How would you feel about that, dude, as far as Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of NC State, getting selected at 25?
At first I think that I'd like it. If you would have asked me about a month and a half, month ago, I probably would have said, yeah, I'm cool with that. But as we've done our exercises, if we've done all our mocks and that kind of stuff, I just think that it's very glaringly obvious that you need, in whatever order it comes, you need to address cornerback, you need to address offensive line within the first two picks. That's just how I'm going to basically use that as my kind of putting that in stone as far as my draft strategy. Every mock I do, if I don't go cornerback or offensive line within my first two picks, it just does not shape out to a draft that I like. And Peyton Wilson, I like him, but as the first linebacker off the board, when we know exactly what type of linebacker we need a Junior Colson. We need a Cedric Gray. We need maybe, if you want to wait till the later rounds, maybe a guy like Olafoshio or more of a traditional Mike backer. We do have need for some guys like, Trotter and maybe Wallace, if we do want to, like we talked about upgrading the Will and maybe that different Sam backer. But for what we want in a Mike linebacker, there's only about two or three candidates, really only two of them at the beginning of this draft. So I don't want to waste a draft pick that early on Peyton Wilson, who is, he's a very lanky kind of tall, leaner prospect that if he is not completely healthy, I don't want to waste another first round pick on a linebacker. That's just me.
Yeah, I understand, man. Here, the consensus big board has Peyton Wilson at 40 currently. He peaked at 30, and they have the consensus mock saying he's going to go to Philly at 53, which that's a good example of 25 being kind of a reaching point, right, at least according to the consensus big board. What do you think, Tim? Would you be okay with Peyton Wilson at 25, or do you think that would be a mistake there?
I'm with Jacob on this one. Like lockstep to me, it's are we taking O-line or corner at 25? I'm just trying to figure that out in my head. What's going to happen? I'm leaning more towards O-line, interior O-line with the 25th, and then trying to salvage and get a top tier corner at 41. But I think that's the crux of it because we've done enough mocks to know if you look at our needs, if we don't draw from those position groups early, the whole rest of the draft just becomes a crapshoot, really. And, there's no telling who you're going to end up with. I do like Peyton Wilson. I know Jacob likes him. He just drafted him, but he drafted him at 41, not 25. I think that's probably as early as we go for him,
Yep.
So yeah.
That makes sense. Unless we trade down maybe into the mid-30s, I'd still be okay with it. You know what I mean? If it was one of those scenarios. When you were talking about offensive line and cornerback, kind of being the positions that you feel the best about when you do a mock draft and taking the 25th pick, the only other scenario that I see is the fact that there could be three, maybe even four quarterbacks. Some are saying five. I think that's a stretch. I think the over-under is set between three and four on the betting line, but I could be wrong. If you get four quarterbacks taken and you get 6 to 8 offensive tackles taken, like they're saying, before you get to the 15th pick, then for me, it's going to be defensive line.
And three or four wide receivers.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing too, right? I mean, there's going to be just a ton of a ton of quarterbacks, receivers, and tackles taken. So if that happens, then you're probably going to get your pick of the litter in defensive line. And I actually did a mock earlier today by myself using my board.
Top
100. And
I like that, Clayton.
I've got Jerzan Newton at 25. That's nice. That's the example that we're talking about. Like, you're talking about the top defensive lineman in the draft falling to you at 25. I'd be totally fine with that. Tim, didn't you do this on your mock too? Am I thinking right, Jerzan Newton?
Yes, with Jake Shavink. Yeah, I did. I took Jerzan Newton just because of how we were doing it with the snake draft and then what was available and then looking at needs. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you have to go Jerzan there, get D-line out of the way. And then, yeah, you're right. You're very similarly, you know, you still got your boy Tyler Newbin there. Mm-hmm. And then you make another home run draft pick with Christian Haynes. So, you know, you're looking good here. Linebackers addressed. I just feel like I'd like to see two corners in this draft. And it's, you know, you did the best you could there. I think Josh Newton's a great pick there at 126. But, you know, that's the only corner we're going to get. And when you start getting down to those picks, we know what it looks like, you know. So it's all where you prioritize your need, because you got to remember, like, you know, the Packers are going to look at need-based draft approach, of course, but it's also best available. It's also, you know, there's so many different variables. So there's no really one way to look at it. But I think everything's going to hinge on which direction they choose to go at 25. You know, not ruling out trading back, you know, as well. So
I love that draft personally, Clayton.
Yeah, I think that's a great looking draft.
I basically worked my board, but I didn't want it to go too long. So I worked my board for the top 100 and then just went to PFF. And I tried to glance back at the board, but I worked the board really, really hard for the top 100 picks. And basically what it came down to, just to kind of give you a point of value with each of these picks, Jerzan Newton or Johnny Newton, I have him on the 17th spot on my board. So I got the 17th best prospect at 25. Tyler Newbin is the 32nd best prospect on my board. I got him at 41. Christian Haynes, probably my favorite pick of all these. Christian Haynes is the 27th best prospect. Got him at 58. Bo Limmer is the 40th best prospect, center out of Arkansas. We got him at 88. And then Cedric Gray, of course, they gave an F to that because they're not very high on at PFF, at least their draft board. But Cedric Gray on my board is, where's he at? He's actually sitting in the 64 spot. We were able to get him at 91. And then, of course, Josh Newton is one of my favorite corners in this draft. He's 71 on my board. We got him at 91 or at 126. And the Javon Foster one was really interesting because we pulled the PFF grades up, and it was like, holy cow, this dude graded out really well.
Missouri.
So, it was a lot of fun. We still got Trayvon Wallace. I don't think Trayvon Wallace is going to drop that far. I really don't. You know, with like the 33rd team has him as the third best mock, and I think they got him around 64. I could see him falling, you know, outside of the top 100. Be impossible, but down to 245, I felt like I was cheating taking him there. Like, there's no way that dude's going to be there. So, anyway, that's how that felt. It just kind of got me thinking when you're looking at the linebackers. I addressed linebacker with Cedric Gray there. So, obviously, he's 95 on the consensus big board, but again, I had him sitting in the 64 spot, so just couldn't pass up on him. It's going to be interesting to see how linebacker kind of drives this draft a bit too, right? The draft that we did last night, since we're kind of talking about mocks anyway, I'll keep that pulled up for a second. The draft that we did, I think was it last night, or it was the night before that we did when Jake Shavink jumped on and we tried to just, it was like herding cats on here. We were all, you know, I don't know. I'd rather have him, you know, it's just hard to put it together, but here's how that first round shook out. Okay. So you'll notice here, if you look, I imagine that T'Vondre Sweat did not go in the first round here. He did not. Okay. So he was at least a second round pick. That's one thing I wanted to check out there. But the order in which these picks went was Caleb Williams 1, Drake May 2, Joe Alt 3, Marvin Harrison junior 4th, Malik Nabers 5th, Brock Bauer 6th, Quinyon Mitchell 7th, Rome Odunze 8th, Dallas Turner 9, Talisa Fuaga. In the 10 spot, Jerzan Newton in this draft went 11th. So there's no way he was going to fall. to 25 to us in this specific draft. You got Latu from UCLA, edge defender with the neck injury. He went 12 to the Broncos. Jaden Daniels went to the Raiders. Cooper DeJean went 14 to the Iowa Hawkeyes, from the Iowa Hawkeyes. He was drafted by the Saints. The 15th spot out of Washington was Troy Fontana, went to the Colts. Then you had Jared Verse, edge defender from FSU, went to Seattle. J.C. Latham, tackle, went 17 to Jacksonville. Byron Murphy, defensive lineman, went to the Cincinnati Bengals. Fashanu, tackle, went to the L.A. Rams. Terrion Arnold, cornerback, went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Amarius Mims, tackle, went 21 to the Dolphins. 22 to the Eagles was Nate Wiggins. 23 to the Vikings, Kool-Aid McKinstry, boo. 24 to Dallas Cowboys was Graham Barton. And then in this specific one here, the Packers took Jackson Powers Johnson, center out of Oregon. So, yeah, I like it. And here's what's crazy. Look how early Tyler Newbin went too, man, 26, right? So he may not even be there when we try to take him at 41, right? There's a chance of that. Brian Thomas Jr. went 27th, wide receiver. He's really low on my board, by the way. He's like, I want to say he's like down around 170 or something, which is wild.
Which one?
What's that?
Who?
Brian Thomas.
Oh, yeah. I do not understand. He's a bot. Dude, he's not a hand catcher. He's a body catcher. I don't know.
It's just wild because people absolutely love him. And let me just double check. It might have been lower than that, actually. I remember going, dang, he's way down there. He might have been even lower. Brian Thomas Jr. Brian Thomas Jr.
That's look at Guyton went in the first. TJ Tampa went 29th overall. That's an interesting draft.
Yeah, it was. And we kind of shook it up a little bit with the settings. I do remember that. I can't even find Brian Thomas Jr. now. I know he was significantly lower on my board. I definitely didn't have him up there in the top 30 like most people do. So I just can't figure it out. There he is. So he was 89th on my board, which is really low. But again, his PFF grade in 2022, he was 603rd wide receiver. Like, you know, and then last year he was 164th. It wasn't like, holy cow, this dude tore it up, right? And the other thing you got to think about, too, is who are you playing with? Did Brian Thomas Jr. make Jaden Daniels, or did Jaden Daniels make Brian Thomas Jr., right?
Unique neighbors take all the coverage away.
Yeah, there you go. That's another great point, right? When you got multiple players looking to be picked high in the draft that are on the same team, you gotta look at that a little bit. But, yeah, Peyton Wilson going 32 to the Chiefs, too. That's interesting. But, Tim, anything stick out to you on this draft here, man? Anything you kind of go, whoa.
Yeah, Packers got JPJ. I'm happy. We'll take it. Shore up that O-line.
What else you need to know, right?
Yeah, I'm like I said, O-line, D-line, corner. That's what I'd like around 25. Mm-hmm. So anything that looks like this is awesome. But I do think the Newbin pick is certainly interesting too. Like you said, you know, we've had so many mocks where we end up getting our hands on them, but you know, there is a very realistic possibility that he won't even be on the board when we pick. And I don't know what the likelihood is that Goody trades up in this draft. He'd have to really have his eyes on somebody and be convinced to trade up, I think. I think if we do make a trade, it'll probably be down.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And the Jackson Powers Johnson, as far as that goes, he is 22 on my big board. So
here's a guy.
Yeah. And as far as Brian Thomas Jr., like we said, you know, people love him. He's 18th on the consensus big board right now. I mean, that's just wild. And you see his teammate Malik Nabers is obviously up there at the number 5 spot. So
I don't get it, dude. I just to me, you could swap Brian Thomas Jr. and Troy Franklin, and that would make way more sense. Swap their positions on that draft. And
I could see that. Yeah.
I don't know.
As far as the 33rd team, they've got him 21st. So he is up there, bro. The grade they've got on him is a 67. And obviously on the grading scale, 67 is a strong starter. So, Jacob, look, I know you got a good-looking beard and all, but I'm telling you, man, we are in the minority, you and I, man. They hear my accent and they know, of course, he's going to screw it up. But they expect you to get it right, Jacob. So, all right, so just a couple, like I said, just a couple things we're trying to kind of bring into focus and go, okay, what is going on around the news? What's getting shook up in the draft? Okay, with the mock drafts, how are they starting to get kind of the lay of the land? That mock draft we did last night, this is what it looked like. We got Jackson Powers Johnson in the 25 spot from Oregon at center. We took Enos Rakestraw Jr., Tim's guy, at number 41. You got a defensive lineman, Chris Jenkins, at 58. I love that pick. Christian Mahogany, guard, at the 88 spot. Kalen Bullock, safety out of USC, in the 91st spot. Audric Estime at 126, halfback out of Notre Dame. Javen Foster, again, we keep taking Javen Foster. That's a name that keeps popping up, guys. And I'm telling you, every year when we do this, there's usually two or three names that you go, man, every time we do a mock, they just seem to kind of make sense. Yep. Where they're falling in the draft.
Missouri. So, Missouri's got strong with the draft choices this year. I like it.
We went back-to-back linebackers there at 202. We went Jalen Ford from Texas. At 219, we went Trayvon Wallace from Kentucky. And then we went safety Oladapo at 245. And then, of course, Jacob's guy, Dallas Gant there.
Yes.
I like that draft, too.
That's a good draft. Man. I do, yeah. Again, Goody's going to make a couple picks where we go, what in the world? What is he doing here? And they'll probably pan out. For the most part, the drafts we've done, it's rare I come away and go, man, I really don't like that draft. It just seems like the way the draft falls, and maybe it's because Goody has got 11 picks, 5 in the top 100, right? Yeah, Chris, don't do this to me, please. We're at the 44-minute mark. We are not doing a mock draft tonight. I'm going to say it one more time. We are not doing a mock draft tonight.
He looked what he went.
I paused for dramatic effect. We were going to look around at a couple more mocks, too. I think we probably got time. Let me go to the consensus or the mock draft database. This is a really cool feature they got. I'm going to widen this out for just a second. So if you go to mocks, right, and then 2024 mocks, it'll show you the most recent mocks. It just so happens that the most recent one is for Packers Wire, all right? So let's hit on this mock real quick, and this is what their staff put together. I won't read them all off, but I'll just kind of give a couple nuggets here. Three quarterbacks, 1, 2, and 3 were three quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. All right. Then it looks like you got, you know, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. So three receivers went in the next four picks. Joe Alt flies off the board. You got Dallas Turner at edge. You're kind of seeing, all right, there's a tackle taken there for Shanu. You got Brock Bowers. Oh, forgot about Brock Bowers. That's another one coming off the board. Will help the Packers a lot. Jared Verse, J.J. McCarthy, another quarterback taken there in the 11th spot. You're seeing tackles, right, flying off the board. There's Quinyon Mitchell. So they took Cooper DeJean. If Cooper DeJean's sitting there at the 25 spot, let's go around the horn with that real quick. How do you guys feel about Cooper DeJean in the 25 spot? Because on my board, I've got him at 33. Scored out great in 2022. He's the 11th best cornerback in all of college football. Last year dropped to like 151, so he had kind of a down year. That kind of fits that mold of the Jaden Reed approach, right? I think he's got a pro day coming up too, if I remember correctly, guys. I could be wrong.
No, you're right. I believe it's Tuesday or so.
Let's see. Yeah, April 8th.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
All right. So hopefully we'll get some answers on Cooper DeJean tomorrow. That'd be cool.
Here's a guy.
So how do y'all feel about Cooper DeJean getting mocked here at 25?
Go ahead, Jacob.
I would be okay with it. I went up and down on DeJean. I think I'd be okay with it. I like his versatility. I think that he could help us a lot in the return game if need be. I think we could actually plug him in at corner it, and I think that he'd be a great safety, especially with what we need him to do or what we need out of that safety position. I think that I'd be okay with it. I honestly would rather him not be there than be there, if I had to be honest. But if he is there, I like for instance, I would be, if we have the option to go over Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry, I think I'd still go Kool-Aid, if I'm being honest. But
gotcha.
I don't know.
I can see both picks. If I go to Kool-Aid McKinstry on my board, I've got him in the 20 spot. So he is significantly higher. He's 13 spots higher than Cooper DeJean. So yeah. Yeah, would be a nice decision to have to make. It sure would, Prince. You're right. DeJean over McKinstry. Coach Lynn says, love it. Secondary versatility would allow McKinney to move around. So, yeah. You guys got anything to add on that and the fact that Cooper DeJean taking it 25 there?
I wouldn't be upset. There's corners I like better. Rakestraw being one of them. Looking at my notes, Nate Wiggins from Clemson is another one. You know, Kamari Lassiter.
I was gonna.
Terrion Arnold from Bama. I mean,
yeah. Terrion Arnold. I like.
We talked about Quinyon Mitchell, another guy. You know, may or may not be on the board there, but there's also a lot of corners that I like less than DeJean as well. And then you know Jacob's point about possible utilization in the safety role. You know, in a pinch also makes him kind of intriguing, at 25. So yeah, no, I wouldn't be upset at all if we took Cooper DeJean.
Yeah. As far as Rakestraw is sitting in the 34th spot. So he's right behind Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
One thing we got to take into consideration. I'm pretty sure Rakestraw, did not score above a 7. I think it was fairly low as far as his RAS. So Goody's never taken a first round pick with an, you know, an 8.3 or less than an 8.3, I believe is what it is.
And so, I know what you're saying, Jacob, too, as far as size, you know, we got to consider size, especially in this, this Halfley defense too. You know, we want guys to play big and fast and strong. So, you know, you can't have too many small corners out there.
Chad's calling out Tim. He goes, is Tim ever going to let us know if he likes space
runner? Now, tune in tomorrow. I'll be sure to confirm that for you.
Replace Tim's name with Clayton and put Newbin instead of Rakestraw. Right? The other one. So, Coach Lynn says, I would want to see DeJean in the slot or post safety or box. Yeah, that's the interesting thing for sure. See, Jake Shavink says DeJean would be such a good nickel player. And, you know, the only thing that makes me hesitant on that front, I agree. I think he would be a better nickel than Keyshawn Nixon. But it kind of feels like Halfley likes Keyshawn Nixon as a slot. At least that's what was being said, that when he came in and watched the tape of the current players, like, I want that guy to be my nickel is what it sounded like. Now,
why does he like him? I'm still trying to wrap my head around that because, too, we've talked about how the second that Goody makes a signing at a position, he usually drafts to replace that position. So I could see him being like, all right, we're going to give Nixon
a good
bag right here. Keep him on for at least a good solid year or two. Maybe it's more highlighted. This money is for the kickoff stuff, which I've actually heard some weird mixed stuff on the kickoff stuff. But anyways, what if he's more focused on that and he's looking like, okay, we already paid Nixon. Now we need his replacement right away. That's kind of what I want to do. I don't see Nixon as our freaking nickel corner. I just don't.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him in Halfley system yet, though, either.
That's a good point.
Maybe this is what it takes, and he's utilized in different ways, or, you know, I don't know. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate, you know?
Right. If you get the message out there, too, think about this. It's lying season, right? If you want DeJean to fall in your lap, you say Keyshawn Nixon's our slot guy, baby. You know what I mean? Great point. Somebody go, oh, they're not going to take him. They just pay Keyshawn Nixon $6 million. And all of a sudden – bang, like Chris Hansen on the Catch a Predator. The door opens. He says, have a seat. Have a seat, sir.
Let's have a seat. Yeah, let's go here.
All right. Anything else you guys want to hit? Let me scroll down here. I did want to touch on this. Players not included in the first round. Jackson Powers Johnson, right?
No.
Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington, and Bo Nix, quarterback out of Oregon. So it looks like there were four quarterbacks taken. If I remember correctly. Yeah, definitely four quarterbacks taken. So that's good news. That's better than three, right? But you'd like to see Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. kind of climb up. What I would like to see is Kansas City or San Francisco maybe trade out of that 31 or 32 to allow a team to jump up and get that fifth-year option on a potential franchise quarterback if they think Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. is one of those guys. So, yeah. So there is the first round mock from Packers Wire, and that was provided here on the mock draft database. That was done on April 5th, the most recent mock on their website. So kind of cool to see how other people are thinking when it comes to the draft here. So anything else you guys want to hit on, we could comb through the chat here a little bit too. Let's see. I'll start with this one. If you guys got anything, you just cut me off. Anything else you want to hit on, Jacob? Anything we missed, man?
I'll think of it if I
can. What'd you say?
I said, I'll think of it. I'll yell it out. But right now, I'm just looking over the chat to see if we missed anything.
Cool. Cody in the chat says, how many games this year will be determined by a score off the new kickoff rules? I think there's going to be a few, based off of the numbers that they're sharing and how it increased the explosive plays. Even if it's not a touchdown, just I'm thinking of that new kickoff rule, and I'm thinking of a team, being down by a couple points, and it's like, okay, if we kick it in the landing zone and they get a big return, well, they're gonna get in field goal range quick. But also, if you kick it through the end zone, I think it puts it at the 30, pretty decent field position, right? So it's like, damned if you do and damned if you don't. There, what do you think, Tim? Do you think how many games do you think will be determined? You don't have to get an exact number. Do you think it's going to be that big of a factor?
I think a handful for sure. We'll see, especially like to your point, Clayton, like even if they do start at the 30, you get a couple quick hitters, get out of bounds. The way these kickers are, booting the ball from 60 plus with regularity nowadays. I mean, you don't have to get as close as you used to get into field goal range. So I can see points coming off of that for sure. And that's Cody's question. He's not necessarily saying, a touchdown off the return or even a touchdown in general, but just these new return rules, these new kickoff rules leading to quick scores, short possessions, points on the board quickly. I could see it happening a handful of times. I can also see that happening kind of maybe, at least a quarter of the way into the season as guys kind of like get used to the new way things are happening. We might see more of that and the way coaches are adjusting their strategy and where they're putting some of these kickoffs situationally. Really what it does is it puts your special teams in a situation where they have to know situational football. The day of the routine kickoff is over with. So these are going to impact play for sure. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Carly Ray in the chat says, but a slot corner has the same basic responsibilities regardless of the scheme, right? Ball tracking for one, and Nixon was faked out way too often last season for my comfort level. I agree with the second part, but as far as the same responsibilities, Carly, it just depends on what the call is. I'm not accusing you of this, but I know it's a common theme within just football fans in general. It's like they like to pretend like this scheme is way different than this scheme, right? And it really isn't. Like when you break it down to the nuts and bolts, it's two high or single high, middle field open, middle field close. Are you bringing four, five, or six? Are you playing man coverage or zone? Every defense in the NFL have the same play calls in their playbook. It's just how often are they calling those specific plays, right? So I'm with you on the second part for sure. I'm not sold on Nixon in the slot either, but I'm not going to sit here and – not that you are either, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know more than Halfley, right? So as far as in his defense, though, are you going to fire that nickel more? And that's what Tim's referring to, right? Are you going to be more aggressive there, right?
I think if he's saying he liked Keyshawn in the slot, he had to have been looking at tape last year and just seeing how he's being utilized, you know what I mean? And had to be like, oh, man, let me take control of this, and I'll have 25 out there, playing hot to his full potential in the slot, So they're going to, hey, we got a lot of reasons to put him out there, not just the financial side of things. But I've always believed Keyshawn's more than just a special teamer type of guy. I think it's finding a more defined role for him. And if it's the slot, then we're going to see this year. It's either, it's going to go one of two ways, right? We're going to see a lot of what we saw last year and kind of go, oh, okay, he's not a liability in the slot, but he's certainly not a Pro Bowler in the slot, right? Maybe this is the year he takes that leap. Maybe he puts up, a hell of a season. So we'll see. And to Jacob's point, I still agree with the sentiment of if that's the approach, doesn't mean we don't draft somebody. Doesn't mean we don't bring somebody in behind him,
Absolutely. The other thing, too, like when you're talking about these different systems and everything, someone asked me the other day, what's the difference between a jack backer and a buck backer? And this is just a perfect example right here. And I read several articles on it and actually asked a couple of my coach buddies down here in Tennessee. There's like three different nicknames for those two positions other than jack and buck. So essentially, when you're talking about jack backer and buck backer, and the way it's explained to me, it's referring to a 34 defense, okay? Your jack backer is short for jack of all trades. He typically plays outside linebacker, a 7 or a wide 9 tech on the wide side of the field. Preston Smith. You know why they call him the jack of all trades or the jack backer? Because on the wide side of the field, you're going to run a lot of zone blitzes, and you're going to drop him into coverage. Joe Barry was the only guy that did that. But that's what they refer to as jack backer. Buck backer is essentially a Sam backer in a 34 defense, good for setting the edge, that type of thing, as far as against outside zone run, that type of stuff. So on the tight end side is where your buck backer will be. Buck equals Sam. Jack equals Will. It's essentially what it comes down to. And coaches, just like my buddy was telling me when I talked to him on the phone last night, coaches like to throw their little lingo in there. And sure enough, in an article, I seen a jack backer or this or this or this is the same thing. And I'm going, God almighty, these people in their pissing contests. It just blows my mind.
Do you think that goes to your point, like you were just saying, Clayton, about how, like, hey, it's all the these schemes are similar in a lot of ways, and a lot of these plays are the same. Do you think it's just to kind of add deception that, hey, we call it this, you may have heard it this, you're not going to necessarily know, you know?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Like, if they hear them in passing,
right?
Hey, you're playing Jack over here. You're Jack. You're Jack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you're whatever. You're Camel. You're Camel. Okay, cool. You know, the offense may not pick up on it, but you talk to players, they're not on the field trying to pick up signs most of the time. That's happening on the sidelines with people filming right. The guys that are getting the signs and all that good stuff. So, shout out to Coach Harbaugh, who's now with the L.A. Chargers. So, Coach Lynn in the chat said, would y'all be okay if the Packers traded back to 33 to control day two of the draft?
Yeesh.
Absolutely, man. That would be a dream for me because there's like
– as long as they take a corner.
As long as they take Ray Straw.
At 33.
I love it. Yeah, so like Bucky Brooks was saying the other day, he said this is an extremely deep draft. But the depth ends after the third round is what he said. So he's saying, yes, it is deep, but once you get past the third, it really drops off. So as many picks as you can get in the first three rounds, I think the better off you're going to be. I really do. So
I think that Zambito here, as much as I keep going over and over and over our roster as to what our needs are, I can't help but look at, like, all right, worst case scenario, it's week one. We've got Jair at one corner, maybe let's say Stokes on the other, and we got Nixon in the slot. Jair gets hurt. That right there is our season. We just had Stokes as our number one cornerback now, and we have Nixon sliding into cornerback two or maybe Valentine or Ballantyne. Like, we need two or three stabs at cornerback in this draft, I think, at least.
And that's listen, why I struggle with the trading back. You know, that's what hangs me up on it. Like, if we trade back, we're basically saying, all right, we're gonna try and grab some corners in the fifth and sixth and seventh round, and I don't know how that's going to work out for us, you know.
Or at a minimum, you're banking on one of those top guys to drop
right
or whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We don't like that. So no, it's a great point, man. And you know, back to the whole slot conversation, Jacob, when you said you know, history is basically tells us that when he pays for a position, he goes ahead and gets a replacement. I think it could be a little bit of that, but I also think it's at that moment, if you're willing to pay someone there, it shows you how much value they're placing on it. Like, okay, this is really important to us right now, right? And again, if the slot goes down, right, who's playing slot for us? We don't have anybody, right? So
that may be why DeJean is so enticing if he's on the board, right? Because you're going to cover corner, and then you got a nickel backup here in a pinch.
Yeah, definitely. All right, anything else, guys? Anything else? Let's go around the horn one last time. Jacob, you got anything, bud?
No, man. I'm excited. We're doing a show tomorrow night, I assume.
Yes, sir. We are. We'll go ahead and get that set up. So we're planning on going live tomorrow night. We'll have
We can touch on is it Cooper's draft day tomorrow?
Yeah, hopefully that stuff comes through in real time. I've had a hard time kind of finding it in real time. And sometimes the RAS site isn't updated very quickly. But like, I think Amagaji should be in the system now, but Cooper DeJean's hopefully will get a good idea. And most of the time, what people will do is take the unofficial times, throw them into the RAS system, just kind of on their own to give us an idea. But Cooper DeJean's going to be a big one, man. He is. Like, is he going to score? If he scores over 9, you're going to see his draft stock rise. And I think that'll kind of solidify, okay, if he's there at 25, there's a really, really good chance that Goody's going to take him. If he scores under an 8, you can pretty much roll out Goody taking him in the first round, right? It's going to be huge. and you got edge defender Jonah Ellis coming in on the same day in Utah. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. on the 9th will be something else we could talk about as well. So Prince in the chat says, Cooper will work out mid-eclipse so there won't be any film of it. Brilliant. Chess, not checkers, boy. Chess, not checkers. So, yeah, it's supposed to be cloudy here, so we're going to miss the eclipse, I believe. But that last one was cool. Do you guys ever experienced that? You remember the last one that came through?
2017. I did see it, yeah.
I was in Nashville on right outside of a bar. Oh, I won't
say that. Surely not. Yeah,
I was working, and I was with I just happened to be outside with a homeless gentleman. And he was a cool, cool man. I used to go.
He said, "Hey, I got a magic trick for you. Watch this."
No, and I walked up there. I was like,
"The sun disappear."
I was like, "Yo," I was like, "You know, there's about to be an eclipse, right?" He's like, "Yo, you bring me some glasses." I'm like, "All right." And I went and grabbed some glasses. He's like, he's awesome. Like, "I got some glasses." He's like, "I might as well have a beer, right? While I watch the eclipse." And I went, "You son of a duck!" And I went in there and I grabbed a beer and we both sat and drank a beer and watched the eclipse in the middle of the road.
So you had a cold beer, a daddy soda. And enjoyed the eclipse with a homeless guy. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Bro, that is awesome.
It was great. Seriously,
I'm not BSing. That is cool, dude. That is good.
That's awesome.
Great. I remember about it. It sounds silly, Tim, but like I remember being outside. We were doing a huge mulch job for a customer, and the shadow being cast across the leaves, every shadow from a leaf was the shape of the eclipse. That blew my mind.
Wow.
Like you could, it looked like a little mini sun with the, you know, with the God's thumbnail, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Moon look. I was like, I was tripping. It's like, what is this? So where were you at?
In the woods in Hendersonville, North Carolina in the summer of 17. And I just remember when it happened, what you were saying visually, but the fact that all the wildlife, every bird, every insect, every noise just stopped. Everything just got real quiet during that whole time. And then as it passed and we got sunlight again, you heard the activity just pick back up. It was kind of eerie and surreal. That was probably my biggest memory.
Hey, nature knows, dude.
Yep.
And if you're ever in the woods and there's not an eclipse happening, I grew up in the mountains. Like it was dirt bike squirrel hunting. That's where I spent my time in you know, Harlan County, Kentucky. If you're ever in the woods midday and things go quiet, take a peek around because there is a predator nearby. Let me tell you. you look over and off in the distance through the cattails and the spruce thicket. You go, is that Bill Belichick?
We're in the woods, so. Yo, hey, if you guys want to watch, if you guys are like me, I love horror movies, but they have to be somewhat good, somewhat entertaining. I love cheesy ones too, but like, anyways, I can't remember. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called Exists. If you like,
that's Bigfoot
movies that are like, it's the best Bigfoot movie I've ever seen. It's shot kind of like in a situational, almost like the Blair Witch Project.
It's actually
by the same writers that did the movie. It's the best Bigfoot movie I've ever seen. It's not 100% great, but it's really good. It's actually watchable. At the end of the movie, I was like, wow, that was pretty good. Like, that was actually good. Exists. Check it out. Bill Belichick is the main character, yes.
True Bruce Steve says, that predator's name, Clayton. Yeah, if I smell chicken wings up there in the woods, I become a predator. I promise you that.
Yo, have y'all ever heard a bobcat in the woods?
Oh, bro. I've never seen one.
Terrifying.
Bro, I think I told the story on the pod. I'm going to tell it again. We're only an hour and 6 minutes here, right?
All right.
Talking about bobcats. We were deer scouting one day. Me and my buddy Kyle Moyers, one of the best men you ever meet. He had this old dog, Leo. Leo was an old hound. Leo was not scared of me. I seen and heard stories of Leo chasing after bears. Like, he wasn't scared of anything, right? We're walking down this logging road, and we're coming in, and it's kind of getting dusk. And Leo, all of a sudden, tucks his tail between his legs and gets about 10 yards in front of us. And, I mean, he is terrified. And I'm like, what has got Leo spooked like this? Like, Leo's a badass. Like, what are we doing here? And all of a sudden, dude, we were kind of we were walking along this logging road. There's a huge cliff line where they cut the logging road out of the side of the mountain. And all of a sudden that bobcat let out, bro. The rest of the way, Leo was in between us. And I was in the back walking backwards with my shotgun faced out. Kyle was in front of me walking forward with his shotgun. We were waiting for that thing just to come off the cliff line. Terrifying. Sounds like a woman or a baby screaming. It's just like the worst thing ever, bro. We need to get that sound bite. You did this. This is your fault, Jacob. I see you got a bunch of Mark. Go ahead, get after them there, Jacob. Keep
throwing shade over here, going, sure, time to talk about bobcats, but not to do a mock draft. And we got too old for the St. Emilio's, got his race car bed ready just in time to hide from the eclipse. And then Carly Rae giving me shade, saying it's the best I've ever seen. It's pretty watchable. It really is good. I'm not in Harry and the Hendersons. That's it's
better than Harry and the Hendersons, says Dead Fish. Well, all right, let's get out of this show. Sucks. Yeah, we appreciate y'all hanging out with us. We'll be back tomorrow for PTA Live. Someone asked Chris, Ron Samble, deer sitting in a deer stand. Bobcat walked up and looked at me and spit a mouse out. He said, yeah, I don't need this anymore. Come on down here, old man. Get out of that tree stand. Someone, Chris Ian, asked a question here I wanted to hit real quick, man. Where's it at? I know it's up here. He said, good morning, Lambo? Question mark?
We did get a couple other ones, too. Yeah. Tomorrow, I could possibly swing it. I don't know. What are you thinking, Tim?
I don't know about tomorrow.
Maybe try to shoot for Tuesday morning?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. All right, no good morning, Lambo.
We'll try to get something, at least a couple of them, maybe lined up for this this upcoming week. I got some stuff starting up, but I think it'd be nice. Me and Tim could definitely throw out at least a couple smaller ones maybe this week.
Yeah, for sure. Whatever you guys want to do, man.
We survive the eclipse. We'll see you Tuesday morning.
Yeah, that's a big gift.
Exactly. So we'll be back tomorrow night for PTA Live, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. We may have time for a mock drafting, but we got to make sure we get through all our bobcat stories, first of all. And Jacob having a cold beer with a homeless man watching an eclipse. That sounds like something out of a movie, man. I love it.
So, that sounds like a movie right really there.
It does. And then and the movie starts, and the homeless man takes you back through his life, right? And talk about where they got to start and everything. Write this down, Jacob. What are we doing, man? Write this down.
Bumps into him and says, let me buy you a daddy soda.
That's it. Exactly right.
This is our Goodwill Hunting
moment. This guy fist fought one time in college. His name was Bill Belichick. What'd you say, Jacob?
This is our Goodwill Hunting moment. We just got to write this down.
Yeah. Just write it down, man. All right. Appreciate y'all. We'll see you tomorrow. That's exactly right. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go Pack, go.
The power sweep actually is the lead play in our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. You tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here. Try to run this play in the alley.